Blog Talk Radio. Give a brief thing of how this all came about. So I've been very heavy laden and have felt a great burden on me so heavily, the burden of the Lord, and also the I can feel the darkness getting so heavy that, you know, I guess it's just that spiritual battle, you know, that's in ourselves as we see the Lord's plans taking shape and taking place. It's such a bittersweet thing to see. It's so sweet because you know that the Lord is ultimately bringing all of this about for his purpose, which is righteous and good and beautiful and perfect. And in the midst of all these things that are being brought about, all of this darkness that's coming, and the enemy of our soul and all his minions and their fight against us and against the Lord, we know that the Lord is going to prevail in this, and we know that we are going to prevail in this because of him. And we know that hopefully people know that many are going to be purified and tried in the fire and brought home to the one that loves them and created them in the midst of this. The two things that are going on, God's judgment is going on, but Satan's wrath and is also going on at the same time. But all things, every single thing works for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So it ultimately, it doesn't matter what their plans are. It doesn't matter. But what the Lord's doing, that matters. But it's bittersweet. You know, I just always think of the scroll. You know, that's kind of how I feel. It's like I know everything the Lord is doing is sweet, but it's painful going down. It's painful to see and accept it. And so I've been very, you know, somewhat just really worn down. I guess I would say worn down. I'm not discouraged. I trust God completely, but I'm worn down sometimes, and I don't trust myself a lot of the time, but I have to remind myself it's his spirit that resides in me. It's his spirit that resides in us, and we trust that spirit. And so I've had a hard time praying. I've had a hard time doing anything. I've had a hard time acting and continuing to do what it is he wants me to do. And so anyway, this morning, but you see, he's faithful and true, and he'll grab back on. He'll grab back on to you at your weakest moments. And that's when he can work, is when we're very weak. And I've just felt so weak. And so I woke up, you know, at 3:30 this morning, and I just felt, you know, strong enough to just barely pray. And I just started to pray, and you know, whenever I can manage to do that, just speak a word to him, usually it'll all come pouring out, and the tears will come pouring out, and everything will come out, even though I think I have no tears left or no words left, no prayers left. I don't know what to pray anymore. The Holy Spirit always comes over me and moves me toward him. So I felt very restored after a long session there with the Lord, and I've been wanting to get all the majority of the dreams and visions as he leads me out on these shows and on my blog. And in the midst of doing that, Michaela and I keep getting dreams, so sometimes the old things will be put off for the new. But this morning I felt strong enough to look at what I thought was one of my smallest visions that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I decided I would just step out in faith and write it on my blog and do maybe a short show about it. But, it, you know, of course I went and wrote it on my blog, and that's when the Lord revealed to me, at least in part, what what this vision was. So I will just tell you it, and Michaela, you feel free afterwards to put in your two cents. But you can, I'm just going to tell you it, and then I'm going to read some scriptures, and I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple of Strong's words, but I'm hoping everybody will go dig into the Strong's themselves and look at the scriptures themselves. And I know there are many layers to God's word and to what he declares to us, and so you may see things I didn't see or that I don't see right now. So if you want to read it, you can go to fireandrain.wordpress.com. I did post it, and I will try to put up some show notes about today's show later on today or this evening. Okay. So I'm not exactly sure when I had this vision. I just think that it was approximately 2013. And I was sitting with Michaela discussing the things of the Lord, like we do very often together. And I don't remember exactly what we were talking about, but the way I recall it, she was talking to me, and I began to see flies, what I thought were flies, kind of buzzing around my head, kind of buzzing around, and I thought they were flies, and so I kind of swatted at one at one point, but then I realized right away that there really weren't any flies in the room, and I started looking around the room, and I'm seeing these little things, these little black things that appeared like flies. I can't say that they were flies. They appeared like flies, and I realized that something weird was going on, and that for a moment I thought maybe I was kind of like losing my mind, or that I was having like floaters in my eyes or something like that. But as I began to look around the room, I was seeing ripples everywhere one of these little flies were. There was like a ripple in the atmosphere, and the best way I can describe it is like a ripple or a tear in the atmosphere where they were coming through that ripple, and I was seeing them. And so I was just like, wow, whenever something like this happens, I'm usually like, Lord, is that you? are you showing me something, you know? And I remember thinking that, and I remember telling Michaela right away that what I was seeing, and it was weird. And I'm really dense and really slow, and I don't know why, you know, the Lord bothers with me to show me things, but you know, I just kind of freaked out and went, well, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. And I knew right away that I felt right away in my spirit that something had pierced the veil. And, you know, the veil from the, I guess, you know, the spiritual dimension to the physical dimension, I was seeing that. That's the best way I can kind of describe it. And so it's been on the back burner of my mind since then, and it was one of the visions that I wrote down that I wanted to get out on the show, hopefully like sooner than later, preferably yesterday than today, but I'm late. And as I see, time is ticking down. And so I posted it this morning on my blog, and then, you know, I just decided to go on Blue Letter Bible and look up flies to see what I could see in the word of the Lord. And, of course, the Exodus passages came up when the Lord sent the plague of flies on Egypt. So I'm going to go ahead and read these verses. There's only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that I actually posted. There's more in in the Bible, but I just picked out these five that I felt were relevant at the moment. And so the first one is Exodus 8:21. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. Exodus 8:22, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And then Psalm 78:45, he sent diverse sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. Psalms 105:31, he spake, and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. And then Ecclesiastes, which flies in this verse, is a different word in the Strong, but I'm going to read it to you anyway. Ecclesiastes 10:1.
Oh, is this the one about the apothecary, Mother?
Yes.
Mother, that's really, really dang weird before we even go on, because I've had that verse stuck in my head for like the last 2 or 3 days now. Just
why doesn't
just
that
so
surprise?
Know.
Why doesn't that surprise me, Michaela? Why?
The next verse you're about to read has been stuck in my head, and I don't know why.
Well, no, yes,
but maybe
you do.
Now I'll know why.
Okay, so I guess we're gonna have to go take apart this specific scripture and really dig down into it in the Strong's and so on. Okay. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor.
Wow. See, wow.
Yeah,
that's
wow.
Just weird.
Indeed. So, yeah, everybody, I didn't post the Strong's for that, this specific word flies. I posted it for the other one, so I'm sure there's something much deeper and extremely important there. So hopefully everybody will look further into that. But we can see from that verse that the apothecary, or isn't, that's the ointment of healing, right? It is become a stinking savor. It's kind of self-explanatory. And then it says, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Same effect. Folly. Anyway, so first off, you know, I just want to say that, you know, the flies, these swarms of flies will certainly come again. And I'm sure, you know, well, you know, the way I look at things, they usually act out, and they usually, you'll see them in the physical, but first it'll take place in the spiritual. Or you'll see a representation of the spiritual in an actual creature like a fly. Flies. I looked on the internet, and apparently there's epidemics of flies everywhere. I've never seen so many posts of people asking how to get rid of flies. There's like this epidemic of flies. Everybody's really frustrated. We've had them here really bad, and, you know, we've made sure that everything's cleaned up outside. You know, our house isn't full of trash and scum, that we should have flies in the house. But we've had a lot of flies. It's been bad for probably a couple of years. And not only have we had tons of them, but we've had them early. I mean, fly season here used to be August. Now they basically hang out all winter. And this year we got a lot of them in January when all the trees were blooming. And we had a lot of flies. But anyway, I see a warning to the people that are living as Egyptians. The flies, they're coming. And if you look at the Strong's, before the word flies. I'm just going to give you a little bit of this. I'm hoping you'll go and look at it deeper, but it's Strong's H6157, which is Arab or Arav. The KJV translates it in the following manner: swarm, diverse sorts of flies. It comes from the root word H6148, Arab, spelled like Arab, A-R-A-B, or Arav. That's interesting to me. Which translates as surety, metal, mingled, pledges, mortgaged, occupiers, occupy, becometh, engaged. So, yeah, it's interesting. Very interesting.
Okay, and but so I have Lord to add this in.
Go ahead.
Real quick, Mother. So flies or fly, whatever, one of the words was mingled. I just wanted to bring up about bad water, that word promiscuity or promiscuous also means mingled.
Right. Mingled. Intermetal. So that segues nicely into Exodus 8:22, where the Lord says, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." So just more calling back people to holiness, to being in the Lord's will. It's important that we're doing that now if we want to be in Goshen when the flies come. So, I don't know. That's it. I just encourage everybody to take this to the Lord and to just stand in the gap for your children, for your animals, for the innocent, and just remember the Lord's mercy dwells in the midst of his judgment. And we can't forget that the Lord Jesus Christ will never leave us or forsake us, even if some of us are still here in the midst of all of this, because there are those that are chosen for martyrdom, and we can't let... And, you know, we may see a lot of things that may shake us, but we can't let what our eyes see cause us to faint. So Mick's got something she wants to talk about and we need to talk about together also. So I think what I'm going to do is, unless you want to go straight into the other part of this, Mick, should we take a break?
Yeah, I guess it'd be a kind of a nice separation there, even though the two messages are closely related.
Yeah. So we've only been going for 20-something minutes, I guess, but I'll just play a short song, and then we'll come back and finish up what is on our heart here. Let me see if I can find one that's not... too long.
Yeah, it's like 3 minutes long or something.
Okay. I'll play another Jeremy Camp song. Okay, we'll be back.
It must have been good. It must have been right. Well, to see you standing holding, well, holding me tight. Well, with your arms around me, I know that you are there. You'll never end the distance, I always know you're near. It must have been good, well, it must have been right. Well, I see you standing holding, well, holding me tight. Well, with your arms around me, I know that you are there. Your never end the distance. I always know you're near. Well, nothing I can do, well, nothing I can say can make you love me more. Your love remains the same. Well, you gave it all for me. Well, you gladly took my place, put her in my self-abhor. Well, all my guilt and shame. Well, all my guilt and shame. I must have been strong. Well, I must have stood tight. Well, to you, the thoughts around me, that battle in my mind. And knowing you surround me, your wings to my despair. Whatever my condition, the cross that shows you care. Nothing I can do, well, nothing I can say can make you love me more. Your love remains the same. Well, you gave it all for me. Well, you gladly took my place, put her in my self-abhor. Well, all my guilt and shame.
Stuff they didn't like. That's how I feel.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that's pretty much the way it was through all the Old Testament prophets anyway, and
oh, yeah.
the New. I mean, you know, because the false prophets of the time were saying peace, peace, when there is no peace, and prophesied, the people said prophesy to us good things, you know, good things and peaceful things, and they didn't want to hear the extent of the judgment of the Lord. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and it's a heavy thing, but it's a necessary thing, because we need to fear the Lord, and we need to realize that our souls are in peril, so that hopefully, if we have the ears to hear, we'll run to the one who can save us, the only one who can save us, which is Jesus Christ, and he wants to save us. And so that's the love part of this. As dark as the message may sound and as scary as it may sound to some people, the love is there. He wants, his arms are open. He's waiting for you to run to him, because in him, perfect love casts out all fear. And we need to be in his arms, where we belong. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not fun to talk about this stuff. It's overwhelming, and it's a great burden, but it's a necessary one.
All right, so, well, to put it shortly or not so shortly, I don't know, this message caused me mass amounts of torment and anguish, and then that torment and anguish turned into seething anger and indignation. It made me enraged, and I don't know why. Luckily, I didn't, because when I get enraged, I tend to swear, but this enraged moment that I had, I did not swear. I don't think I sinned at all, so I knew it was like, this has to be some kind of indignation. Hopefully it's righteous, not unrighteous, but I don't know. I just think I couldn't deal with it, because it's like, I'm like, Lord, is this for only me to know? I mean, what do you want me to do with this? Do you want me to tell the people? How can I live by myself knowing this, me, for how can I live with only me knowing it and not anyone else? So but thankfully, there's confirmation from Mother that I should tell this to you guys. So this was 2 days ago, or maybe, wait, no. Was it 3 days ago? I don't know when it was. It's within the last 3 days.
It was, today's Tuesday, right? So it was Sunday.
Sunday? Yeah, so Monday. Yeah, so 2 days ago. And I was, we had gone on a walk, but I'm always in front when we take the dogs on a walk. And we were going down one of the roads near our home, and I was walking Ted, my pit bull, and I'm weird, I don't know why, but like, I saw something on the road that I thought was roadkill, and so I was just like, I'm going to put my glasses on so I can actually see what it is, because I don't know why, I just wanted to look at it. And it was a squirrel, and I was not expecting it to be a squirrel, but it was like a red, like its fur was a reddish fawn color. But here's the thing that was really horrifying about it, though, is that, okay, so it was in a sitting position, all right? It was sitting upright with its hind legs out like legs, and then its, you know, its arms, but its upper body was slumped over its tail and stuff, and its guts, its innards were strewn out across the road from its stomach, but it was sitting, but it was slumped over. And I was like, Okay, that's really disturbing. Why is it like that? Because when you see a roadkill, usually it's just crushed, you know, it's mangled. You can't, it's almost unrecognizable. But this was different. And it probably sounds really crazy, but like it had
Well, I'll
that.
add in just before you go on, I'll just add in that I have to confirm what she's saying that it was unusual because see, when I see roadkill, I'm not like her. I don't want to look at it. So I saw it from a distance as we were approaching it, and I knew that there was something wrong because there was something odd about it. I just sense there's something odd about it. So it was a heavy thing on my spirit right away. And so you know how you don't want to look at the clock because you know you're up too late and you have to get up in the morning. But you keep looking out of your peripheral anyway. It's like you trick yourself because you don't want to know what time it is, so you don't know how much sleep you've lost. But yet you look at it anyway. That's kind of what it was like. It's like I didn't want to look at it. I avoid looking at roadkill because it hurts my heart and I can't take it. But I was compelled to look at it. There was something unusual about it, and I got up to it, and I thought it was a bunny or something because it was an unusual color than I'm used to seeing. We usually see possums or raccoons or something out there, and you're every now and then cat or something like that, sad. So when I got up to it, that's what hit my heart. It pricked my heart in a very strange way. This little squirrel was sitting up, slumped over, and had a very... It did have a very, like, Michaela...
Human-like.
Yeah, a very human-like,
it's human-like
thing about it. It was very disturbing. I've never seen anything like it. And so at the time, I just knew that I was disturbed, and my guts were just kind of, like, turning around and around, and I wasn't sure why just yet, but it left an imprint on my spirit. So I just had to confirm that for you, Mick.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Okay, well, because, yeah, and that's what was so, it was more disturbing because it was, like, its face, like, it had, like, a human-like countenance to it, like, so much that it was really, like, quite horrifying, and I didn't get it. I'm like, that's really weird, and it's sitting up like that, and it wasn't even mauled really bad. It's just, like, its gut was just, like, strung out across the street from its stomach, and just like, but the rest of it looked like it was, the rest of it was not mangled except for that part. And so it was just really weird, and I was like, okay, what the heck, let's just keep going. And so I went home afterwards after we were done with the walk, and I didn't know this. Well, when I came back, I looked at it again, and I didn't see, it wasn't in the same position anymore. Like, its body was all, it looked like it had been thrown, and I didn't see the head anymore. And so when I got home, and then Mother got home after me, I asked her if she had seen it. She's like, yeah, I thought it was weird. And then you had brought up that, because I was like, well, I don't know what happened. I didn't see the head, and it was in, like, it was all, like, thrown about on the street now. It wasn't in the position it was. And you had said that the crows had come and torn off the upper half and stuff, so that's why I didn't see its head or anything. But the scavengers had come and taken parts of it and stuff. But this is what I don't want to say, and this is what I knew in my spirit when I saw it and when I came back, especially after you had confirmed it for me, Mother, that you had noticed it too. Was that...
Well, shouldn't you tell the second half of this before you say...
Well, no, because I'll say it right after I say it.
Okay.
But that squirrel is going to be the people, okay? What is a squirrel? It's a prey animal. It is the prey, okay? And so, and here's the thing, is that I was thinking that day, and I'm like, I'm horrified, I'm so horrified, I can't live with myself, right? Because it's like, this is what's coming to the people, they're going to be this squirrel that's on the road. and I don't know why I was feeling this or think this, but it's like this is the prey. The people are going to be as the prey. So, and then, oh man. Okay, so yesterday, the very next day, which was yesterday, okay, I feel a little bit better than I did the day before. And so I go with my stepdad, my brother-in-law, to the co-op downtown. And they missed their turn, and so we had to turn around and go back the other way to get into the parking area. And, okay, there's an art store right across from the store we were going to. And there's this human mannequin. Okay, it's a woman's body. It has woman clothes on. It's a woman mannequin. But the head is a squirrel. It did not have a human head. It had a squirrel head. And I was like, what? What? And I was like, oh, Lord, don't let the light turn green yet, because we had stopped at the light. And I was like, let me get my, like, phone and take a picture. And I took a picture. I really should post it. I'll post it. I'll try it. I'll see if I can post
it
on my blog.
No, you have to post it. We're posting it. You got to post it.
Well, I have to figure it out how to do it from my cell phone, so.
Oh, okay. We'll post it if we can.
We'll see. But I'm like, wow, this is just confirmation the very next day what I was feeling, that the people are going to be the squirrel. And I'm like, oh man, this is not going to be good. It's
yeah, so
like
she comes home and tells me this, and I'm like, what? I'm like, what? What? And I haven't seen the picture yet, mind you. But I'm just like, no, it can't be related. It can't be, it's too far outside my box, you know?
Well, it's outside my box. It's outside both of our boxes. But I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, this is significant. This is.
Yeah, so tell what else is in the picture then.
Okay, so I did not see this when I took the picture, okay? I did not see it in real life. I did not see it when I took the picture. I only saw it when I went home and showed Mother. But, okay, so there's the picture of the woman with the squirrel head. And then right above it are two American flags.
Yeah,
American.
On either side of it, right?
Yeah, on either side.
Yeah, which was significantly weird, and then it was significantly weird, although I didn't know how significantly weird, when Mick had figured out that it was a woman's body.
Mm-hmm. And then my mind immediately went to Lamentations 5, where it says, they ravished the women in Zion and the maids in the cities of Judah. I mean, I'm not going to bring up the atrocities they're committing in the Middle East right now, ISIS and all the jihads and everything, but it's like, wow. And then Mother brought up today about how, wait a minute, America, the harlot church, this is what's going to happen here. And for some reason, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, and mind you, this art store is the most occultic place.
Yeah, it's a
got
pagan
a big
place.
Illuminati triangle on the side of the building. Anything vile and filthy that you can think of as far as New Age movement, occultic type stuff, just emanates out of the place.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, which, you know, America is full of that stuff now. And you know, I just got to say, people can argue all they want about who Babylon is and, oh, Babylon's Babylon in the Middle East and Iraq, or no, you know, the Bible says Jerusalem, calls Jerusalem Babylon at one point, yes. And America fits the description of Babylon, and the judgments pronounced upon Babylon are the same as those pronounced upon Edom, and the same as those pronounced on Jerusalem. The same, the same, the same, but it ultimately doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter in the respect, it matters because everything God says and does matters, but it doesn't matter in the respect that it doesn't matter who we are when we rebel against the Lord or where we are on the planet. The judgments are the same. And America
exactly.
is everything to everyone. Just like the Son of Perdition will be everything to everyone.
She is the melting pot.
She is the melting pot. So you
just
can
like
be assured.
English is the melting pot of languages.
Exactly. And you can be assured that she will fall under this judgment. And the rest of the world will too. But she claimed to be the Lord's. She's a hypocritical nation. She claimed to be the Lord's and she's morphed into an harlot. So it is coming, no matter what your thoughts are on eschatology and who the harlot is and who Babylon is, who America is, so on and so on. I mean, we're everything, and we're Edom, too. They're here. ISIS is here. Islam is here. We're everything. We're the melting
the
pot.
Mingled
it's all
people.
Here. And, you know, so, yeah, it's going to... going to happen. So go ahead, Mick. I had to say that.
Yeah, and so I'm like, well, and I want to throw this out there too. I don't know if you think the same, but when I saw that squirrel, I'm like, that's just weird. If that's actual roadkill, if that was hit by a car, it's just weird for it to, like, land like that. And to me, it looked more like something had, like, had it, like another bird. But whether a bird had snatched it like a bird of prey or if it was hit, it doesn't matter because either way, it made me think of the eagle and the squirrel is the prey. And the people are going to be the prey. And I really did not want to bring this up because it was so disturbing to me and it still is. But it's like, don't let what your eyes see make you run away from God, because really, it's all an illusion. It's like, don't fear not those who can kill the body, but who cannot kill the soul. Only the Lord can kill the soul. So you better be fearing Him and not man, what man can do unto you. So,
that's right. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
And if you're in the right place with the Lord, I honestly believe that this horror, that kind of horror, isn't going to touch you because the Lord will be with you. So no matter what happens, the Lord is going to be with you anyway if you love Him and are following Him. But it's, not a very pleasant message to say that people are going to be torn apart and slaughtered, and yeah. But so that was the main message that I wanted to put out there today. Also, what I thought was interesting about the crows coming and eating it. It just makes me think of, because crows are related to ravens, crows and ravens, but it made me think of that verse, and I think it's Isaiah 46, where it says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, or ravening wolves, and I just realized, hey, the word raven is in that word. I was like, I don't know, I just thought it was interesting, but wherever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together.
That's
so
what it says.
Death and destruction. Sorry to be a fearmonger, even though I'm not really being a fearmonger. I'm just forewarning you.
You're not fearmongering. You're just warning them. It says
yeah,
I
so you
also
cannot be fearful when it comes.
Exactly, and you don't want the Lord to choose your delusions. I mean, you posted it today, Mick. It's Isaiah 66:4. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes and chose that which I delighted not. So
exactly. And that's the whole reason this stuff is going to happen, is because the people aren't hearing, they're not seeing, they aren't believing, they're choosing to be evil. So this is the whole reason this is even happening or going to happen.
Exactly. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me, though I have redeemed them. Yet they have spoken lies against me, and they have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assembled themselves for corn and wine, and they rebelled against me. Hosea 7:13-14. Just reading the scriptures that Michaela posted on the show, because this is the message.
And that's what sparked the title, too, because before we did the show, I was, like, thinking about this and how the people are going to be the prey, and then I was, like, thinking about the fire and stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the people are going to be the fuel. They'll be as the fuel for the fire, and I wanted to find that verse. And then I went and found those verses, and then I found the other verses. I was like, oh, well, perfect. This will be the title of the show, because that is what they're going to be, the fuel. They shall be as the chaff. They're going to
exactly
be.
So.
If
your eyes are not
kingdom.
Opened and you don't already know this, then we're calling you to repentance and come back to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the only one that can redeem you and the only one that can save you and the only one truly who loves you, other than, of course, God,
yeah.
Father. But, so yeah, that's the message. So I don't know, interesting things happening today. I mean, strange things happen to Mick and I all the time, and, you know, it's just like I got in my tablet today, and, you know, you just thinking about, for instance, Jade Helm, the things that are going on there, and Texas kind of being ground zero for that, where the people in Bastrop, I guess it was the town of Bastrop, had them meeting with the army or the military, representatives of the military, and they questioned the military about what's going on and why they're doing this, and it's kind of interesting, even though I guess it's not the town of Bastrop where it's happening, it's the county of Bastrop County, where there is a dam breaking right now, and it's so weird because I got on my tablet earlier just to get on Blue Letter Bible and look up some words, and, you know, when you first open up the device, there's always advertisements there from Amazon or from movies or something like that, and it said Texas Rising, and there was a warrior with a bow and arrow. I'm sure it's a movie, obviously it's some kind of movie, but I thought it was interesting that it was Texas Rising, and being that it's kind of ground zero for Jade Helm and for ISIS, and the reports of ISIS being right over the border there from Texas,
and
the fact that those people, those Muslims or whatever, you know, false flag or not, that they were killed because they were going to attack the people there with Pam Geller and doing the Muhammad caricatures, whatever. And now.
Well, and here's the thing too, is that you said he had a bow and arrow, which I didn't notice, but it's like, the one show we did, it's like, put yourselves in array against Babylon roundabout, all ye that bend the bow, shoot at her and spare no arrows. For
exactly.
She hath sinned against
the
Lord.
Yes, that's what I was trying
fiery
to get
dart.
At. Yes. Yes. And so it's hard not to see the Lord moving in the midst of every little thing when you see Texas Rising and you see the warrior with the bow and arrow. And then you see the dam breaking, and you see, it's just like it's all around us. And the Lord, I believe,
yeah, and then I had that dream where I thought where the dam broke.
Right, right. Yeah, so, you know, he speaks to us in little ways. He speaks to us in big ways. I mean, for crying out loud, all these devices that the enemy is using against us, it's forbidden knowledge. It's, they stole it. They accessed it against God's will for them to access it. So, you know, who's to say that, you know, that God's not still working in the midst of that? It's his technology. It's his. It's all his. And mankind misuses it. But, you know, he's talking to us all the time. You know, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, but God overrules Satan. You know, he Satan's already judged. So, I don't know. The Lord's speaking to us, people. He's speaking to us all the time if we just but listen and open our eyes and believe. And it's hard to. It's sometimes because we're used to, as human beings, I think, I really believe that all of us, the best of us, you know, that are, the best of us, they're no good, you know. And so Jesus said there are none that are good but the Father in heaven. So we need to get outside of, I mean, of course, we've got to go to everything with the Lord and be sure, but we have the, if you know Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit residing in you, you have eyes to see that others don't necessarily see. And the Lord speaks to us, you know. I don't care if it is a tablet and it's a movie advertisement. It's significant if you're focused on the Lord and you're focused on his will, you're focused on what the Holy Spirit is teaching you and speaking to you. So we just have to get outside of our little boxes and our preconceived notions, you know, whether we've gotten them usually from men in the churches or men that we read their articles of, follow their teachings or whatever. If we can just get all that stuff out of the way and just listen to God, he's there, you know, he's there, he's speaking to us, he's listening to us. But yeah, so interesting dam breaking over there. And then, I don't know, I kind of wanted to bring up the hornets. I don't know if anybody's seen the hornets four times the size of a wasp. The headline is Hornets Four Times the Size of a Wasp on Deadly Rampage. One woman had one in her house that it sounded like a small plane going over her house, and then they have the picture of them in a man's hand, and they're about the width of the man's hand. I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but they're huge, and I just thought it significant and interesting, considering the dream that I had about the hornets. So it's kind of interesting. I'll put that on the show notes on my blog if anybody wants to look at it. That was rather, the timing for that was kind of weird. And then a lot of weird stuff in the news, you know. The restaurant in Nigeria was shut down for serving human flesh. This was about a year ago, but it was posted just recently. A hotel restaurant in Anambra, Nigeria, has been shuttered by authorities for serving human flesh. According to the BBC, suspicious residents told police of rumors that the restaurant was cooking human meat for customers. Police then raided the restaurant, where they discovered fresh human heads that were still bleeding. I didn't really want to read that. Anyway, there's more gory details. In addition to the illegal meat, authorities. What?
I said, I don't know why I'm laughing.
No, you know, it's all rather ironic. In addition to the illegal meat, authorities discovered automatic weapons, grenades, and cell phones. 10 people were arrested in conjunction with the crimes. One resident said, every time I went to the market, I observed strange activities going on in the hotel. People who were never cleanly dressed and who looked a bit strange made their way in and out of the hotel, making me very suspicious of their activities. I'm not surprised at the shocking revelation. A priest who ate at the restaurant was alarmed when presented with a bill of 700 naira, or roughly $3.50, which is tens of millions of people in Nigeria subsist on less than a dollar a day. The attendant noticed my reaction and told me it was a small piece of meat I had eaten that made the bill scale that high. He said I did not know I had been served with human meat and that it was that expensive. So this is kind of a website that's kind of watching the whole cannibal thing kind of manifesting now all over the world, and it's pretty interesting because there are reports. I'll post that too if I hopefully remember. I should write it down, but there are reports coming out of Syria that there literally are guard the ears of any children that may be listening. I don't really want to repeat this stuff around them, but that there are literally human slaughterhouses and human harvesting going on in Syria. And there are some video and some testimony to someone who actually escaped out of the clutches of those committing such atrocities over there. So it's rather interesting to see it posted in places like the BBC. And, oh, yes, this is one. This is one I wanted to talk about because of Michaela's dream about the flood and all that the Lord has revealing to her and to us about the flood.
I just found an article about the flood, too.
Yeah, so, hey, I mean, I haven't vetted this out, and, you know, somebody would you? Because I'm still in disbelief of it, but I guess ISIS, the Islamic State, has an online magazine, and it's called Dabiq, D-A-B-I-Q. According to the Clarion Project, I, you know, don't know anything about these people. I'm not advocating for them in any way. I'm just saying that they're the ones that are posting it, so I will have to look into it deeper. But if it's true, I mean, wow. So the Islamic State has an online magazine named Dabiq, named after a key site in Muslim apocalypse mythology or something. Anyway, I found it interesting because the first two issues, I can't even believe they talk about it like this. The first two issues, the first one was called The Return of the Khalifa, which is the caliphate. The second issue is called The Flood. And on the front cover of this lovely magazine, we have a picture of the ark and a flood, and it just says The Flood. And then the little caption at the bottom says it's either the Islamic State or the flood. That's what it says. In other words, submit or die. I don't know. It matches up quite nicely with what we're seeing.
I can't believe you're bringing this up, Mother, because I just clicked on an article on Yahoo on my phone just now about a missing mother swept away by the floods in Texas.
Well, exactly. And see, isn't this what I was saying earlier. Isn't it strange that all of this is happening kind of ground zero
flood
down there?
Yeah, okay. So here, let me read this real quick. It says, a missing mother of two made a frantic phone call to her sister as deadly floodwaters inundated Texas over the weekend. It says,
wow.
Julie Shields said her sister, Laura McComb, had been in touch with her Saturday night when the rain started pouring down in Wimberley, a river town between Austin and San Antonio. My sister and I had been talking and texting throughout the night, and she had told me around 11 o'clock that water had started coming in. About 3 hours later, Shields became the last person to hear from her sister, who's still missing along with her children. She called me. She said, "I'm in a house. I'm floating down the river. Tell Mom and Dad I love you and pray," Shields told KVUE.
Oh, my dear Lord.
Says the husband survived and was found on the riverbank by rescue crews.
Oh, my dear God.
He broke his ribs, sternum, and suffered a collapsed lung and has been treated at a hospital in San Antonio. He is absolutely devastated, Shields said. He did everything he possibly could to save them. What happened was the house slammed into a bridge and the house broke in two, and they had all been in the house together holding hands, but when the house hit the bridge and it separated, he got separated from everyone else. The state
Jeez,
team...
This is so heartbreaking. This is why we're giving the message, you guys.
And
this
then Shields said, I think recognizing with what's happening with the weather, we all know and we have accepted that they're gone. The flood.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's pretty freaky that I just happened on that.
Well, I don't believe in coincidences.
Nope.
But mind you, you know, the tools in Islam is just a tool of the enemy. Ultimately, all flesh is going to submit to the evil one, the great, small, rich, poor, all of them, unless you are hidden in Christ, or unless you lose your head for Christ and you belong to Christ. And then, after that, all the evil will be submitted to Jesus Christ. They're all judged already. So, we need to just hide in Him.
You got to get to the hiding place. Spiritually first, and then hopefully physically.
Exactly, and if you're hiding in Him spiritually, and you happen to be somebody who is chosen for martyrdom, not because you were in disobedience and need to be purified, but because God needs to be glorified, He will walk you there, and you have nothing to fear anyway. He will take you there. And you don't have to worry. But you don't want to end up where all these wicked ones and children of disobedience and evil ones are going to end up. That's the biggest concern. You don't want to end up there. And you don't want to end up going through something that you don't need to go through because you were running from God, because many people's faith isn't going to stand in that time because of fear. And so you need to deal with that stuff now. But I don't know. Did you want to read the scriptures that the Lord showed us together yesterday, or should we not, or do you want to look at some more news things?
Well, I don't know. It's up to you. I'm a little burnt out at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I think we should do that with a separate show.
We can do that. We can do that. Just a couple headlines. Washington State, which is where we live, has declared a state of a drought emergency across the whole state.
Mother, I think it's, like, really, like, whoa that I basically dreamed that beforehand.
Which?
With the Skagit River being in a drought and then all of a sudden it overflowing.
With the flood.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing. But pray for our brothers and sisters in Texas and Oklahoma and all the places where they're enduring some very hard hardships right now. Pray that God will protect his people and that those that are surviving and that they will call into the Lord, that the Father will draw them to his Son, and that they will be protected and healed, and just pray for everybody down there. I know that they're going through a lot, and please don't forget our brothers and sisters that are suffering in ways we can't begin to imagine in the Middle East. We've got to pray for them and pray that the Lord will sustain them and that many will be saved in the midst of all of that horror that's going on over there and darkness that's going on over there. Don't forget the children. Don't forget the women and children and the men. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if anybody saw the article where a bunch of, was it Iraqi soldiers, Mick, that had been caught?
Yeah, I believe so.
And, you know, I don't know what their faith is. I don't know. I think they're, I don't know if they were Muslim. I don't know, but I know that they fell into the hands of some people probably much worse than they are, and the devastated looks on their faces, even the toughest of them, and you could see they're warriors. There are some tough men in there. Huh?
So I got so depressed when I saw their faces. I was really horrified.
It was horrified, and some of them actually
looked afraid. They had been captured by ISIS.
Yeah, and you could see the looks on their faces that they knew, you know, it was over. You know, they... And there were some really tough-looking warrior men in there, but you could see that, you could see. And I just, you know, lift them up to the Lord and pray that Jesus will appear to them. I pray for them, for their souls to be saved. And I don't know who all was in that group of people. There may have been brothers and sisters in there, too. I don't know. I know that a lot of the Christians have linked up with some Muslim fighters there. My mind's blanking out on the name of the people. I think they're Kurdish, but I don't remember. But anyway, it was a very sad thing to see, and I just it hurts my heart. And you know, it doesn't bring pleasure to the Lord to see the wicked destroyed. And so pray for these men. It was a horrible, heartbreaking thing to see. And we don't want any souls to perish. No souls. So anyway, I guess we'll end it there today. And did you have a song you wanted me to play, Mick, to take us out of here?
No, you can pick it.
Okay, well, let me see if I can find something comforting.
I uploaded a new song. It's called In Each Grain of Sand. It's Jason Upton. I think it's at the top, somewhere near the top.
It's at the top. I don't see it.
Or just keep going down.
Hum-dee-dum. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is, In Each Grain of Sand. Okay. Well, Jason Upton, can't go wrong with Jason Upton. So God bless everybody. Keep the faith. Keep fighting the good fight. Run the race. Keep going. And in your weakest moment, the Lord shows up every time. And we're praying for you all and praying. There's so many lost people. Just keep praying and keep witnessing. focusing and keep being a light in the world. Don't lose your saltiness. And just go out there. If you can do nothing else, go do a random act of kindness in Jesus' name for someone. And God bless you all. Keep the faith until we meet again.
God bless.
Yeah.